Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW. It's a Mesiro Monday. John Hansen here. Greg Lunsford, Dr. Lunsford, over there. He's from Mesiro. We do these every week. This month, I love this topic, Greg. I'm having a lot of fun comparing our generation to the younger generation, Gen Z. I'm a millennial, but I'm like a, they call us a geriatric millennial. There's some things I'm more on your vibe with Gen X. There's some things I'm more on vibe with my millennial groups. But we're talking about how things are just so different for kids these days. In the last episode, we talked about maybe why they stay at home a little bit longer, the reasons why, as opposed to boomers or Gen X, which the expectation was you're gone, right? At 18 or 22, whatever the case may be. So we talked a little bit about the reasons for that. Marriage and kids. This is something that, look, and I'm going off the rails here a little bit. The fertility rate in the United States is lower. People are not having as big of families. And they're just getting, married later and having less kids and doing that later too, right?
You summed it up in a nutshell there, John. The average age for marriage for men is 30. In the 1970s, it was 23.
Whoa! I mean, that's a... Hold on. 50 years ago, you got married by 23 on average. 30. You are a different human being at 30 than you were at 23.
You are much different. Now, part of it is, what's the rush, I guess, because we're living longer. But on the other hand, the reality is, it takes more time for your personal development just for you to be able to take on the responsibility that comes with marriage and starting a family. And so it's prolonged. The average woman gets married at age 28. In 1970s, it was 21. So it's no longer you're launching from your parents' house neatly into your own life as a married couple and can springboard off of the gifts you got from your wedding.
Right.
It's really, you got to make a big commitment to whatever your vocation is so that you are at a point where you can actually afford the cost of living in some cities like Chicago. If you're on one of the coast, even worse.
Let's be honest about it, too. I think a lot of people, when they're looking for their husband or wife, are now looking for a little bit of an established career. This isn't, hey, we knew each other in high school and we're getting married because you're one of the seven people I knew, right? Like,
right.
Not to say like that. And look, my parents were high school sweethearts, been married for a long time happily. Right. Nothing against that. I just mean like in the dating world now, when I talk to people that are dating, I mean, there are so many expectations. The whole field is open now because, you know, with apps, social media, the whole world's at your fingertips.
Right.
It's just a different ballgame right now.
It's a different ballgame. And a couple good things happen, a couple bad things may happen, a couple in-between things may happen because this life course takes a little bit longer. One of the things, if you get married later, now you come into this union with resources, right? And so now we got to go into, you know, this might be a good time for you to do a little bit of estate planning just so you can map out, you know, what happens to these resources, because it's not like you came out of the house when you were 22 and got married before where both people had zero. Some people may have assets to protect or assets that they're sensitive about, right? And so you may have to sit down and draft some documents with your attorney to say, this is how we're going to do this. I hate to say the word prenuptial agreement.
Don't we talk about it a lot on the show.
It's true, right? It's not that hard to go into a career and do something in technology and all of a sudden be a 30-year-old millionaire, right? That's not hard to imagine anymore.
Couples that even have the conversation about a prenup in a responsible way are probably 10 times less likely to get divorced because they're mature and going at that conversation the right way.
And you're right. Financial stress is the number one cause of divorce, correct? Also, because you're getting married longer later, there are more responsibilities you may bring into the marriage, right? So we talked in the past about being that sandwich generation where you may have to care for a loved one. Well, if you get married in your 30s, it may be at that time.
Where you're taking care of your parents.
Right.
Close to it.
I think about even in my own situation, my wife and I got married, and then 2 months later, my father got sick and had to live with us for 2 months, right?
Right now, away.
Luckily, that it reversed itself, but, you know, I got married, you know, almost in my 30s. My wife was around the same period of time. So that responsibility was right in that right period. But because it took me a while to establish myself professionally and, you know, get through school and all that kind of stuff, and it takes longer to start a career now, that's what you may be facing.
Getting married later often means buying a home later, doesn't it?
It does.
And that number is going so much later for the average age of first-time home buyers. It's crazy.
The average age for first-time home buyers is now 35. versus 29 in 1981. So, you know, it is taking longer to purchase a home. You're as we say in my community, good and grown by the time you can afford a home now. But what is really more uncomfortable or hard to kind of swallow is not so much that people are buying their first home later, but the percentage of first-time home buyers is going down. It's almost half of what it was in 2010.
Meaning when you look at all the homes bought in a year, first-time home buyers are less and less of a share of that pie.
If you roll a clock back to 2010, if you looked at all the homes purchased, about half of them would be first-time home buyers.
Makes sense.
Right now, it's about a quarter.
Wow, that much of a drop in 15 years.
The cost of housing has gone up so much. The down payments, which requires a larger down payment, and then when you have a rising interest rate environment, it excludes a lot of people from getting their start.
And the inventory is not there when you have a bunch of people locked into a 3% that ain't going to move.
Absolutely.
Okay, so having children is the next step in this. After buying homes later, having kids. I mean, really, couples are going a lot later than they used to.
Right, or couples may come to the relationship with a child, right?
That's true.
People have children at different stages for different reasons. But if we look at the average age for having children, it's gone up about 5 years since 1970. So now the average man has a child at 32, and a woman it would be 30. So people are just waiting longer because daycare is expensive, healthcare is expensive. And then if you throw in the new things that more people are talking about now, such as cost of adoption or if there are fertility drugs that are needed,
mm-hmm.
that could be very
I know
expensive.
Something about that.
You know a little bit about it, John.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 40 when I finally became a dad.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I'm not alone at first dad at 40.
Not at all. Not at all. You're not the only person.
I may have the most gray hairs of anyone else at 40.
But you know what?
Especially my beard here.
I heard they're closing Chuck E. Cheese. You may be the only dad that remembers it.
That's true. You can do the animatronic thing. Exactly. So we're purchasing homes later. We're having kids later. We're getting married later. I think that just going back to the original thought of showing some grace maybe to the younger generations,
Absolutely.
Not judging them for the decisions that they're making and realizing that the pressures have changed.
So this is where we could be helpful to that generation because what they need is our help, not necessarily our criticism, right?
Right.
Having a few dollars that you may support them in getting a financial planner to help them plan
right.
for these things. These are things that, you know, I remember I went to my uncle and I was very, you know, anxious about, you know, one, when we bought our first home. And we moved out of my condo, and I'm like, could I afford to, you know, I'm just running mm-hmm. the numbers. And he was like, just do it. And then when it came time to starting a family, I was going through the numbers and all that. He's like, if you wait till you can afford them, you'll never have them, right?
True.
So when you think about planning, they weren't planners. They
no,
just like, hey, we're
it.
Here.
We'll figure it out.
And you can no longer take that risk. And
right.
so this is a good opportunity where if you really want to be helpful and you recognize that we're behind as a country in terms of financial literacy, maybe helping them in terms of some financial education or helping them pay for financial professional to guide them along the way may be a good gift.
The number of people also that tell me when they call into this program and say, well, I'm going to definitely leave money for my kids. I'm looking forward to it. And meanwhile, the kids can't get a down payment for a house together. There are maybe just conversations that boomers can have with their financial planners about how to gift their kids some money now while they're still living, and they can all enjoy the fruits of that labor together. There's just, like, I think, a stigma about just giving your kids money. I'll just give it. They'll just get it when I'm dead. How about you enjoy giving them some money now, if you're able to, of course.
Well, and that just leads into another conversation. Maybe we can go in a little bit more detail about mm-hmm. it. But the problem isn't giving your kids money, right? And the problem is when you pass the money without passing the value, so they don't understand what you went through to get those dollars. Those dollars are the ones when you don't pass the values. Those are the ones to kind of, you know, get squandered the way you worry about. But
right.
typically what we're seeing is when you explain what your generational values are, how long it took you to get it, and what your intentions were when you started putting money aside to be able to create generational wealth, they usually follow through with the plans if you're working with good kids.
1-877-MESIRO, MESIROW.com. We'll get the kids to figuring out their kids' future and all how that has changed and their retirements too after this. I was about to send it to a commercial break, Greg. We're on a podcast, everyone. We don't do traffic or weather here. We'll do that next week on a Mesiro Monday. We'll drop that pot on you then. Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesiro advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesiro at 877-MESIROW.